you'll soon wish you hadn't. You'd be better off dropped in the middle of the lake with a millstone around your neck. If your hand or your foot gets in God's way, chop it off and throw it away. You're better off maimed or lame and alive than the prodigal owner of two hands and two feet, godless in a furnace of eternal fire. And if your eye distracts you from God, pull it out and throw it away. You're better off one eye and alive than exercising your 20/20 vision from inside the fire of hell. Everyone's going through a refining fire sooner or later, but you'll be well preserved, protected from the eternal flames. Be preservatives yourselves. Preserve the peace. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks. Just to give you a little context for this passage of Scripture. Just before this, not too long before, Peter, James, and John have gone up onto the mountain. And there they saw Jesus transformed or transfigured into his heavenly glory. And along came Moses and Elijah, and they had coffee together. And anyway, they had this great mountaintop experience, and then they came down from the mountain, down to this faithless generation, as Jesus called them. You know, we talk about mountaintop experiences, going away on retreats or getting away on vacation, and then we just don't really want to come back. I know the more we go to camp, the older we get, my wife and I, the less we want to come back from camp sometimes. You know how it is. You just get, you know, you like that mountaintop experience, that peaceful time. And it was no different for Jesus. He had come down from the mountain, and there was his disciples there, other disciples besides Peter, James, and John, of course, were down there trying to cast out this demon, and it wasn't working. And so everyone was all upset. It was a big commotion, and Jesus comes down, and oh my goodness, this faithless generation. You know, so that was the way it was. So he had that going. And, of course, the disciples, as they left that place, were arguing who was going to be the greatest when Jesus started his kingdom on the earth. They weren't very concerned, it seemed, the fact that he was going to be facing, and he told them this, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be handed over, and I'm going to be crucified. And they're like, yeah, okay, now which one of us is going to sit on your right and your left? And this is what he was dealing with every day. He's trying to bring something from the kingdom of God to these folks into their hearts, and they're just concerned about who's going to be in power and who's going to be here and who's going to be there. All that clamor. They did not understand either that this net that Jesus was casting was a large net over the world. They were a very closed group, these disciples. They were very prejudiced. They were very closed. And so when they encounter this man who's casting out demons in Jesus' name, they couldn't fathom that someone outside of their group could be doing this, using the power of Jesus' name. And that word power in the Greek is dunamis. It's the mighty, miracle-working power of God. And they told this man to stop doing that. How do you stop dunamis? The mighty working power of God. But they tried. They told him to stop helping people because he wasn't part of their group. Wow. If you remember from my last sermon, I was talking about not fighting the Spirit of God. When the disciples saw this man casting out demons in Jesus' name, but he wasn't one of them, they got jealous, is what it was. They got prideful. They got territorial. And they literally stopped the Spirit, or tried to stop the Spirit, from moving through this man. It was their human pride. But Jesus is not mired in any such human condition. Jesus was already recognizing the Spirit moving out from that little circle of his followers. And wherever the Spirit is moving is the Spirit's business. And we either get on board or we get left behind. We either recognize and follow the Spirit, or we find ourselves on a different path than God. Can we let our pride, our jealousies, our prejudices, and our preconceptions stifle what the Spirit may be doing in our church, in our community, in our world? Oh, yes, we can. And sometimes we do. But this is not the way of Jesus. And it's not the way it has to be. Jesus is not territorial when it comes to the Spirit's moving, because Jesus knows Ruach, the wind, the breath of God. Brooding, moving, creative, comforting, speaking to everyone, everywhere. I can never get that image out of my mind of Genesis, the Ruach of God brooding over the face of the deep, waiting to create, for the word, logos, to be spoken, and things to be created. And of course, we're talking about Jesus, who is the Word of God, made flesh. So Jesus and Ruach, Word and Logos and Ruach together, along with Creator God, that we call the Trinity, because we don't know what else to say about it all, exploding into creation. How could we ever stop that kind of power? Or why would we want to? And yet the disciples are, no, 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 you can't do that, because you're not part of our group. But Jesus is not territorial. Jesus is about being salt and preservative, light. Preserving our faith walk and others was paramount in Jesus' day, and it is just as paramount today. How much do we see Christians trying to tear each other's faith down? Over the centuries, it has been even at the end of a blade. We've done this. How could we think this way? How could we think this way? I got thinking about salt, and what is salt? Sodium chloride. In its solid state, it's very hard to separate. The sodium and chloride ions stick together. They love to stick together. They're very good at it. And when they do preserve each other, they're able to preserve other things, like food. I always wonder what Jesus meant by saying, you are the salt of the earth. I guess I assumed that it meant that we're like a good seasoning that makes the world taste better, you know? And that is true. But the meaning of the word literally is to preserve. To preserve. To help something last longer. To retain its goodness, its taste, its nourishing qualities, its attractiveness to the other. Jesus said, they will know you are followers, my followers, by your love for one another, by your preserving each other. Jesus wants us to preserve each other so that our faith will be attractive to the world. Lift me up, Jesus said, and I will draw people to myself. And never cause one of these little ones to stumble. And he's pretty emphatic in the language you heard. If you cause one of these little ones to stumble, it's better that you just tie a millstone around your neck and throw yourself in the ocean. That's pretty, you know, pretty straightforward talk there. Never cause one of these little ones to stumble. And these little ones is not just little children. It's people who are seeking in faith. Tender in faith. Don't take advantage of them. I like that term, the way that's translated. Don't take advantage of them. And yet these disciples were out there, and they saw this man doing this, and they stopped him. This happens all the time, by the way, in our world, this type of thing, but it is not the way of Jesus. And then Jesus said all the, those wonderful things that we hate to think about. If something is bad, pull your eye out, chop your hand off. It's like, rah. What he's saying is, get rid of anything that is opposing the Spirit. Do your best to get rid of it. Get it out of the way. What is rotting instead of preserving? What is rotting our attractiveness to the world? What in the church these days is being the opposite of a preservative? What things have caused us shame and caused others to stumble? In our own lives, we can all think of many things that would need to be cut off or pulled out. And there is a refining fire. Again, quoting my son's song, break me in love, fire from above. Jesus said, literally, the translation should be, everyone indeed with fire will be salted. Interesting. That's why I like the way the Message puts it. Everyone's going through a refining fire sooner or later, but you will be well preserved from eternal flames. And then Jesus adds that last two lines, be preservatives yourselves. Be salt. Be preservatives yourselves. And then he says this, preserve what? The peace. The peace. Now that's an interesting statement. Peace, Arianeu, it means to be at peace. It's the opposite of conflict, of war. Be at peace. Preserve the peace, he says to his followers. Preserve the peace. These days, it seems that is the opposite of what's happening in our world. If anything, it seems like we're saying, yes, let's have more conflict. Please, let's have more. Jesus says, be a preservative. Preserve the peace. To find that peace means, first, we have to be at peace with ourselves. How can we be at peace with each other if we have no peace in our own life? If we are constantly adding to the clamor of what's happening today, how can we find peace? So this morning I want to work at being at peace with ourselves by letting the Word speak to us. This was a devotion that Pastor Rick Riggle led us all in at our COM meeting, our Committee on Ministry meeting, because he was sitting, he said, I'm just so tired of all the back and forth between the extremes that seem to be having more voice in our country than those in the center. And he said, we just need to stop. As the church, we need to do something different. We need not to be adding to all the clamor, but we need to find a way to bring peace. And so he's had us sit quietly, close our eyes, and listen to these words from Scripture, and let them minister peace and stillness to us. Because if we can be at peace and let the Word preserve us, let the Word of God bring peace into our lives and preserve us, then maybe we can begin to be a preservative for others and find ourselves going with the Spirit of the living God instead of maybe against Ruach and not causing little ones to stumble, but preserving the peace. I wrote these out on cards, and there's some here, and there's some back there on the table. You're welcome to take these and do this exercise. I've tried to start doing this exercise myself, just to start the day off with some peace in my own heart, so that when I encounter throughout the day the news and all this stuff that we hear all the time, instead of just saying, maybe we can be at peace with ourselves. So I want you to try this out with me this morning. And if you want, there's some copies to take, and we can always make more if we run out. Just close your eyes and take a deep breath and listen to these words from Scripture about being still and being at peace. Truly, my soul finds rest in God, who is my salvation. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before God. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after a fire came a gentle whisper. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. My heart is not proud, Lord. My days are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters too wonderful for me, but I have quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent all night talking with God. Martha, Martha, you are worried about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in God's word, I put my hope. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on like wings, like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. The Lord your God is among you, a mighty one who will save you. God will rejoice over you with gladness. God will quiet you with great love and exult over you with loud singing. The Holy One of Israel says this, in returning and in rest you will be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Not like the world, but my peace I give you. Let us sing of our service to the Lord as a prayer. The prayer written as a hymn, 388.